Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Ready or not, here he comes. Based on Mark 13, let me read these verses. Jesus said, "Take heed and keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a long journey, who upon leaving his house, put his servants in charge, assigning to each one his task. And he also commanded his doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is returning, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you all," Jesus said, "be on the alert." I invite you this morning to open up your worship folder, follow along with the sermon outline as we consider our theme, "Ready or Not, Here He Comes." I'm sure many of you who grew up in North America have played a child's game called hide and seek. I wonder if children still play this game today. It was a favorite of my children when they were little, especially when they invited friends to come over to the house and play. They'd beg me, "Daddy, Daddy, please play hide and seek. Please play ready or not." And here's how we would play this old, old game. I would close my eyes or cover my eyes, and the children would skedaddle and go hide, and I would have to count to 100. Some of them would find really good places to hide, and some places were painfully obvious. But oh, the giggling and laughing that would come when I called out those infamous words, "Ready or not, here I come." And those who were hiding in obvious places loved it when I pretended I couldn't see where they were hiding. Ready or not, here Jesus comes is a common theme of the Holy Scriptures, a common theme in the Christian church, especially during the season of Advent. This is the theme of our Mark 13 parable I just read to you about the soon coming master of the house. One could say the early church lived on tiptoes, just waiting for Jesus' second coming at the end of the world. St. Mark tells us these words, "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come." Standing on tiptoes, eyes fixed to the horizon, the words of the early church strained in anticipation. They said things like, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The night is far gone. The present age is passing away. Come, Lord Jesus, come." Every word, every deed, every prayer seemed to be shaped in the early church by the anticipation of the Lord coming back once again. My friends, today, we at times stand on tiptoes in anticipation. We all know the energy that an anticipated future brings to our present. Consider all the presents and cards and decorations and sermons and programs and things that must be prepared for Christmas time. Consider an engaged couple with their wedding preparations, or expectant parents getting the nursery ready for their new coming addition to the family. But we also know, don't we, the sense of disappointment when a hoped-for future does not come, or when the hoped-for future does come and leaves, and things didn't work out as we planned. When wedding plans don't work out. When the expected baby doesn't arrive. When things do not work out as we anticipate, and life gets painful or challenging, we may wonder, Lord Jesus, are you ever coming back again? Are my efforts in this life really making any difference at all? Is my own future secure, or is the world correct? When it gives this famous statement, you know, there's nothing certain in life except for death and taxes. The early church must have also wondered. St. Mark writes, take heed, be on the alert. You don't know when the appointed time will come. Be on the alert. You don't know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Certainly these early believers were not immune to a loss of hope in the coming of the kingdom of God. Surely they were not immune to a loss of faith in God's care in the face of their uncertain future. The days wore on for these people. They were persecuted for their Christian faith. The memories of the risen Jesus were fading. He hadn't returned as he promised. They sang, come, Lord Jesus, come. But instead, marching, angry Roman soldiers came. They sang, this evil world is passing away. But the evil world seemed to be getting worse and worse. People cannot stand on their tiptoes forever. The early believers could certainly join us today in confessing, Lord, we don't have the strength to stand on our tiptoes. We don't have the strength to be sure of our future. We don't have the strength to fix our hope firmly in God, because we are sinners and our faith falters. Our future seems too slippery. We are not strong enough to hold on to the promises of God. So Mark in his gospel has some good news for us today. The good news in Mark's gospel is a cross-shaped good news. The source of our hope and the source of our strength is not in our faith. The whole source of our hope and our strength is not in our ability to remain strong and stand on tiptoes. The source of our hope and strength is an act of God in history. It is an accomplished act and a historical fact. What we're speaking of is Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, and then his death on the cross, and his rising from the grave. We have wonderful news to share and to believe. Something has happened. He has come and done great things for us. Did you listen carefully to Mark's gospel reading? Jesus said, he says, I will come, and here's what he said, at evening, or at late night, or at cock crow, or at dawn. And St. Mark uses these very words of Jesus to structure and to write the rest of his gospel. In the text of the parable in chapter 13, we are told that Jesus may come at evening. And in the very next chapter, Mark writes, and when it was evening, Jesus is at the table with his disciples. Taking bread and wine into his hands, he tells them, this is my body and blood, which on the next day will be shed for you for the sins of the world. In the parable, we are told that our Lord may come at night. And soon Mark records these words in the next chapter. Late that night, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to prepare for his appointment with the cross. In the parable, we're told that Jesus might come at the crowing of the cock, the rooster. And Mark records in the next chapter the event of Peter denying Jesus three times before the rooster crows once. In the parable, we're told the Lord Jesus may come at dawn. And two chapters later, Mark records, and as soon as it was dawn, Jesus is bound and tied up by the Roman soldiers and led to his trial for the cross. What has St. Mark heard in the soon coming parable of the Lord of the house? He has heard and proclaimed to us this message. Everything uncertain in our future, everything uncertain in your future, is anchored in the certainty of the cross. The cross tells us what is our true and lasting hope, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you and for me. This same message comes to us again and again in the hymns of the church. Consider these words from the hymn, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. And how about these words from one of my favorite hymns, Rock of Ages? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And again from In the Cross, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. In the face of anything this world throws in our way, there is the cross. In the face of marching, angry Roman soldiers, the only true and lasting hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of an evil world getting more evil every day, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of broken engagements, empty cribs, family trials and heartaches, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of ends that never seem to meet, work that never seems to cease, health that is not improving, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of you and I, one day on Judgment Day, standing before a holy and almighty God, our only true and lasting hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. What do you think became of that precious little baby in the manger? That baby whose tiny hands reached up to mama, grew to be the Savior whose hands were nailed on the cross for you and for me. He is our true and lasting hope. And in the beautiful face of Jesus, in the beautiful face of Jesus, that Bethlehem babe, now Mount Calvary's Savior, in the beautiful face of Jesus on the cross, I see and you see an absolute assurance of God's undying love for us and His loving plans for our future now and for all eternity. In the beautiful face of Jesus, we see these words of the prophet Jeremiah being fulfilled when Jeremiah tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, plans to give you a future and a hope." Every moment of the day, my friends, especially during this season of Advent, is alive with the promise of God's future and Jesus' return. Every time you hear the tick, tick, tick of the clock, You're being brought closer to God's new day. The kingdom come, the Lord Jesus returning for His church. And by the way, in the church, unlike anywhere else, we realize that something is about to happen. Jesus has come in the past. He is coming right now in the present. And one day He will come to take us to His heavenly home. And so St. Mark proclaims in the gospel reading, "What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Every time we together recite the creed and say these words, "He will come to judge the living and the dead," God assures us that the frail human justice in this world, based on a corrupt earthly legal system, will not be all the justice this world has to offer. Every time a baby is baptized, God reminds us of His fatherly divine goodness and mercy and love that seeks us out until kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time we hear at this altar Jesus' words, "Take and eat, take and drink, this is my body and my blood," He says to us, "This is just a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus." Every time Christian people speak a word of forgiveness in Jesus' name, a word of forgiveness to a friend or a neighbor or a family member, every time we speak a word of forgiveness in Jesus' name, we are speaking in a future tense, in a language one day all of creation will learn. Yes, something has happened. Something is happening. Something will happen. And when our Heavenly Father decides the time is right, He will once again send Jesus as our Savior. But this time, not as a Bethlehem baby, but as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings of all creation, master over sin, master over death, master over the devil. Who would have thunk it? Seeing that baby in the manger, one day, what He would do. And until that day that He returns, until the end of that world when our Lord comes back for us, we pray the last prayer recorded in the Bible, in the last verse of the Bible, in the final book of Revelation. We pray together, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." In the name of Jesus, amen.